How can we effectively witness if our mannerisms, our feelings, our disposition does not convey his message? We cannot effectively minister. We cannot effectively witness if people aren't attracted to us because of our attitude.
Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 states, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." God sees the true nature of our hearts. And just like the moon reflects the light of the sun, our hearts in turn must be a direct reflection of the presence of God. First Lady Tamara Hornbuckle's message today entitled, Beatitude, will help us understand how this can be accomplished. Come, let's join her as she explains.
Amen. Bless the Lord. Amen. So good to see all of you today. Amen. Amen. I was telling Sister Casey on the other day that everything that people were saying was all in what God had given me to give to you. Amen. I was listening to the testimonies. I heard Sister Brandy, amen, talking about her son. Amen. I heard Brother Newsom talking about what happened on his job. And I heard Brother Andrew talking about some things that were going on in his life. Amen. And praise the Lord. You know what? You all got through that because of your attitude, how you dealt with it. Amen. And so my message is all about your attitude. Amen. Amen. How many of you, when you were in school, you were in English class, you had a lesson on Shakespeare? How many of you know who Shakespeare is? Shakespeare, playwright. One of his famous plays, Hamlet. Do you remember that play, Hamlet? Do you remember Hamlet's most famous, they call it a soliloquy. Do you remember his most famous phrase? What was that? To be or not to be? That's the question. To be or not to be? Amen. We face that same dilemma every day, and we should be having that same conversation with ourselves, but from a spiritual standpoint, because did you not know you can be alive naturally so, but dead spiritually? We know that Jesus says, "I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." So your life is dependent on cultivating and continuing your relationship with Christ. Just like a thermometer measures temperature, God's word, it measures us. And in the Old Testament, people were measured by what? The Ten Commandments. In the New Testament, Jesus introduced a new measuring tool, the Beatitudes. Amen. In the book of St. Matthew, chapter 5, that's where we're going to start. Verses 3 through 10, a passage of scripture commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes. Jesus begins his ministry by laying the foundation for righteous living. So what does the term beatitude mean? The dictionary says that beatitude means supreme blessedness or exalted happiness. The words blessed are, which begin each of the Beatitudes, implies a current right now state of happiness or well-being. In other words, Jesus was saying, divinely happy and fortunate are those who possess the inward qualities that I am about to teach you. It's a good definition, but I like, when I look at the word beatitude, I like to take it apart And I put it into two separate words, the word be and the word attitude. Be is an action word. It's a verb. It means to exist, to happen, to continue, to remain. Attitude has to do with your mannerisms, your feelings, and your disposition with regard to something or another person. Attitude is about your mannerisms, feelings, and disposition. It's not about how I feel. It's about how you feel. The Sermon on the Mount is a personal message because it starts with you. And it's a matter of your heart. And for some of us, that's hard because we prefer to focus on what's in her heart, in his heart, rather than what's in our heart. So we're going to examine what's hidden in our hearts. Living a life that follows the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount is foundational to our relationship with God and with each other. Jesus is teaching us how we should act, how we should be. So developing an attitude takes time. Wait a minute. Let me clarify that. I'm talking about a right attitude. Not developing an attitude, you know, hands on your hip, finger waving, neck popping. I can't do that. Eye rolling. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that kind of attitude. But we know our attitudes are affected. They're influenced by our perception, by what we see, our culture, by each other. Social media has a great influence on our attitude. But Jesus is asking us to get a new perspective. And the new perspective starts with a change in us. For example, back in the Old Testament times, in the book of Exodus 21, the prevailing attitude was eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, foot for a foot. But when Jesus came, he said, it's a whole different change. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not the evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And that's a whole different perception. Whole different perception. And it's important because, again, the Beatitudes are about your attitude. Because your attitude reflects your maturity in Christ. Many times throughout the New Testament, you'll see where Jesus had to correct their attitude. He had to correct the Pharisees. He had to correct the Sadducees. He had to correct the disciples. He had to correct the people that he even healed because the attitude was not quite right. Their thinking was a little off track. Amen. Amen. So chapter 5 begins, and seeing the multitude. Because of the miracles and his teachings, Jesus had quite the following. People wanted to know who he was. All of a sudden, he just showed up. You know, in chapter 4, it talks about how after the baptism, Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And he was in the wilderness for 40 days, 40 nights, fasting and praying, preparing himself for his ministry. All of a sudden, he shows up in the temple. He starts teaching and preaching and healing people. So naturally, the people were curious. Who is this guy? So they followed him. Hundreds, thousands followed him. And that was perfect. It's a teachable moment. So he had a captive audience. Now was the right time to teach the people that his message, that what God had sent him for, was a message of love, a message of reconciliation, and that it begins with us. How can we effectively witness if our mannerisms, our feelings, our disposition does not convey his message? We cannot effectively minister. We cannot effectively witness if people aren't attracted to us because of our attitude. So Jesus taught 8 principles for being. Some may say, why did he teach 8? Why not 3? Why not 5? Why not 10? Why not 20? I don't know. I don't know why he just taught 8, but I know in the biblical sense, 8 stands for new beginnings. And they mentioned this scripture a couple of times in Sunday school, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So when you accept Jesus as your Savior, your attitude should change. Your attitude adjustment, it might take some time. It may not happen overnight, may take some time, may take some work, but sooner or later, it should change. Don't you think so? So what are these qualities that Jesus spoke of? How can we apply them to our lives? Why are they so important? Number one, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Poor in spirit denotes humility. This is where we recognize that our sufficiency is not in us. It's in Christ. We acknowledge that we need him. When we acknowledge that, then the kingdom of heaven belongs to us. Interesting that he would start with humility, with humbleness. Because the next 7, you certainly are not going to be able to display if you are not humble. Number 2, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It speaks to those of us who express deep sorrow, be it for your sins or for the sins of others. And believe me, there is nothing wrong with feeling deep sorrow. Jeremiah, the prophet, he was known as the weeping prophet. He cried about the condition of the people. Jesus himself felt deep sorrow. In Mark chapter 6, verse 34, it says that Jesus was moved with compassion toward the people, because they were like sheep. They were like sheep not having a shepherd. Amen. Mourning, having feeling. And that's a matter of your heart. That's a matter of humility. Because some people have no feelings at all. You know who they are. And they could really care less. Really, they could care less. Did you know you are on dangerous waters when you don't care? When nothing moves you, nothing phases you? That's not God. That is not God. The Bible also speaks to the comfort that we have in the scripture, that our mourning will not last always. Psalms 30 and 11 says, thou hast turned my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. My favorite scripture, Revelations 21 and 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Isaiah 51 and 12. God talking about himself, even I am he that comforteth you. Jesus, when he spoke to the woman in in Luke 8 and 48, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. John 14, 16, Jesus says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Beatitude number 3, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, meekness implies submission. I'm just going to let that sink in. Submission to God. Even the word says submit to God. Resist the devil and he shall flee. It's not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. It's surrendering to God. It's saying yes to him. Paul tells us in Galatians 5 that meekness is a fruit of the Spirit. It's an outward display of what's on the inside of you. A person who walks in meekness will inherit the earth. And when I looked at that, I was like, what exactly does that mean? By inheritance, I believe Jesus meant that there is no territory that you cannot conquer. It belongs to you. No limits, no boundaries. Do you not realize how far you can go if you just humble yourself and be meek and refrain from being so stubborn and so prideful? Zephaniah 2 and 3 says, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness. Seek meekness, even in our relationships with each other. We are to treat one another with the spirit of meekness. I tell you what, I am completely turned off by people that approach me that always want to fuss about something. Always want to fuss about something. And sometimes I find myself, let me just go this way. Because I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. You're not coming in the spirit of meekness. You're just coming to fuss. That's not meekness. It's like people are constantly watching you to see if you make a mistake, something you don't agree with, so they can slam you with it. And on top of that, they're convinced that you are wrong and they are right. Have we ever been guilty of that? Then if you have, if I have, because this message is not just to you, it's to all of us, it's to me. Consider whether your actions were meek. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 4 and 21, what will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod? Should I beat you to death? Or should I come to you in love? And in the spirit of meekness. Jesus did not come to shame us into salvation. His loving kindness is what draws us to him. Remember the story of the woman that was caught in the act of adultery. Remember that? They pulled her out the tent and took her out into the open area, and they were about to stone her. And they told Jesus, they asked him, what you think about this? What should we do with her? Because you know the Old Testament says that she should be stoned because she committed adultery. And what did Jesus do? What did he do? Tell me what he did. He got down on the ground like he didn't even hear them. He ignored them and started writing in the dirt. I don't know what he was writing, doodling, I don't know. Like he didn't even hear them. He did not condemn her. But he spoke to her out of meekness, out of mercy, forgiving her. And like she said, he told her, go and sin no more. Number four, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. This involves us passionately. You ever been passionate about something? You ever been really passionate about something? This is about us passionately seeking after God, hungering and thirsting for him. I need more of 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 him. Fill me up. Fill me up. Fill me up till I overflow. And then fill me up some more. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. He's not hiding from you. God's not hiding. It's not God. He's not playing hide and seek. He's not hiding. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. 2 Chronicles 15, verses 2 through 12, talks about when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah. And Azariah was prophesying to the kings of Judah and Benjamin because they were in a tight spot. They were being attacked by the enemy. He said, the Lord will be with you if you just seek him. He'll be with you if you just seek him. In verse 2, he says, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel had been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and we will do that when we get in trouble, we will hit this altar. You beat me in the church. When you get in trouble, turn unto the Lord God, seek him, and he will be found of you. And in those times, there was no peace. There's no peace when you don't seek the Lord. No peace. The enemy, he is after you. No peace when you don't seek the Lord. He says, and in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexation was upon all the inhabitants of the country. But look what the scripture says. And they entered into a covenant, an agreement with God, with all their heart and with all their soul. David, in the book of Psalms, he talks about seeking the Lord. Psalms 14:2. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. God was looking. He wanted to know, is there anyone that wants to know me? Is there anyone that cares to have a relationship with me? Psalms 27:8. When thou saidest, seek my face, My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Psalm 105:4, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. We know in the New Testament, Jesus likened seeking the Lord unto finding great treasure and great pearls, valuable. Jesus is valuable. That's how we have to look at him. He's valuable. He's worth something. He's worth having. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Amen. Do you all know what the three-strike rule is? Because some of us sometimes live like that. The three-strike rule. Strike one. Then they give you another chance. Strike two. And then they give you another chance. Strike three. You are out. You are out of my life. You are out of my speed dial. I unfriended you on Facebook. I deleted you from my email. You out. No mercy. None. Jesus talked about a man. This was a parable he had. A man that owed a debt. He pleaded for mercy from the person that he owed. Please forgive me. Please, I can't pay you. Please, please. And you know what? He was forgiven of his debt. But do you know what he did? He got his little black book out, and he looked up who owed him. Yes, he did. And he went and found that person. And the Bible says he almost choked him to death over what he felt like he was due. He had no mercy. And you know, we good at keeping track of what people owe us, aren't we? We're good at that. You owe me money. You owe me lunch. You owe me a return phone call. You owe me an email. You owe me a text message. You owe me a Facebook. You owe me an Instagram reply, and you didn't. So I'm mad at you. No mercy, because you didn't pay me back. But when the shoe is on the other foot, and you forget to call back, we do that, don't we? Please forgive me. I was busy. No mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That talks about your heart, your conscience, being clean before the Lord. When your heart, which is considered your intuition, your feelings, your emotions is not polluted, you can see God in peace. I can't see what's in your heart. You can't see what's in mine. But you know who can? God. God sees. Remember in the Old Testament when the prophet Samuel, God told him, go to the house of Jesse because I want you to anoint a king. And remember, Jesse paraded all his sons in front of the prophet Samuel. And God said, nope, not that one. Nope, not that one. Mm-mm, not that one. And Samuel asked Jesse, do you have another son? Am I missing somebody? He said, oh, yeah, I got one way out there. He's in the field. And Samuel said, call for him and bring him to me. Bring him to me. Now, David, he didn't look like his brothers. Mm-mm. The Bible said, I think it was ruddy, kind of rugged looking. He didn't fit the image of a king. And when he came, God said, that's the one right there. That's him. That's him. And Samuel, he said, look not. Actually, the Lord spoke to Samuel and said, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh where? On the heart. Genesis 6 and 5, and God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Deuteronomy 30 and 6, and the Lord thy God will circumcise. Amen. Sometimes God's got to do surgery on our hearts. And the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul. 1 Chronicles 28 and 9. Here is the Spirit of God speaking to Samuel, and thou, or Solomon. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. Actually, this was David speaking to Solomon. And serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Psalms 51 and 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus confronted the Pharisees and Sadducees and said, knowing their thoughts, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Matthew 15 and 19, Jesus said, for out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemy. And even in Acts, when the new church was being established, Peter had to confront Ananias and Sapphira. He said, why hath Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? He says in verse 4, why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? A lot of stuff starts right in your heart. It starts in your inside of you. And the Bible says, out of the heart, it's gonna. We used to have a mother in the church that used to say, whatever's in you is gonna come out. Sooner or later, it is going to come out. Amen. And we know there are many, many, many scriptures in the Bible that talks about the heart. Amen. Many examples of people in the Bible whose hearts were not right before the Lord. Look at Pharaoh. Hardened heart. Would not let the people of God go. Amen. Because of his heart. So don't let what's on the inside of you be the complete opposite of what you're portraying on the outside of you. Number 7, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Notice God, Jesus uses children. And now, have you ever seen children get in a little tiff, a little fight? You know, that's mine, mine. And then they don't want to like each other. 5 seconds later, it's like it never happened. They're out on the playground, swinging, seesawing, running around like it never happened. In the book of Romans 12 and 18, and this was my grandfather's favorite scripture, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Try as hard as you can to live peaceably with all men. Romans 14, 19 admonishes us to follow after the things which make for peace, to do those things that uplift one another. The things that make for peace is quietness. That's peace. Quietness. You don't have to say everything that's on your mind. I say it again. You don't have to say everything that's on your mind. You don't have to give me a piece of your mind. Praise God. And you don't have to lose your mind. Peace. That's not God. Even Jesus, perfect example, he held his peace. They beat him. They spit on him. They nailed him to the cross. They cursed him. They confronted him. They mocked him. The Bible says he never said a word. And you know what? He's the Son of God. He could have called down fire on all those people. But he said, Lord God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So if you need to work on beatitude number 7, try not saying something the next time somebody gets in your face. Hold your peace and let the Lord fight your battle. And then people will look at you like, she didn't say nothing. How come she didn't get back in my face? How come he didn't? Because you're developing a beatitude. And you know those very same people that flushed you out, cursed you out, talked about you. It's amazing how those same people will come back to you and say, can you pray for me? I'm having a hard time. Can you lift me up in prayer? Can I come to your church? You know, and that's a witness. That is a witness. Number 8, blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. This scripture, it describes those of us who are true to our faith and aren't hiding our relationship with Christ for fear of persecution. Matthew 5 and 14 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Your life leads others to the cross. That next verse after that says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Amen. We don't hide who we are in Christ. Amen. Let the world know who you are in Christ. You don't have to put a sticker on the back of your back. I'm a Christian. You don't have to put a bumper sticker on the back of your car. I'm a Christian. But your life ought to be an example. Because people will come up to you. I've had people come up to me, and I never said a word. Are you a Christian? And then you like, yes, I am. And that's your door to opens right up for you to talk to them about who God is and what he did for you. 2 Timothy 2, 3 and 4 says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Amen. Amen. Persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Be a warrior. A warrior is focused. A warrior is battle ready. Amen. Those of you that are in the army or were in the army, you know you are on high alert. You cannot allow yourself to be distracted, especially if you are on the battlefield, because one mistake could cost the lives of many. Spiritually speaking, do you want to be responsible for people not wanting to come to church or pray or read the Bible or have a relationship with God because you hid your relationship with God? Because you were afraid someone was going to laugh at you, that someone was going to talk about you, that those people that you hang out with weren't going to want to hang out with you anymore? Because your attitude at home, at work, at the grocery store was completely different from what your attitude was on Sunday? Don't let the enemy steal your battle gear. Amen. Don't let him take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. Amen. All of those things that Paul talked about in Ephesians 6. So what? What was Jesus' point of the Sermon on the Mount? Amen. He was challenging the people then, and he's challenging us now to make a shift in our thinking. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 again, it says that we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things are past. All things are become new. The Beatitudes is about shedding the old man, old woman, and putting on that new man, that new woman who looks like, who walks like, who talks like, who thinks like, and who is like Jesus. So make a conscious effort to examine yourself on a daily basis to ensure that you are displaying the right attitudes. Are you proud instead of humble? Are you hard-hearted instead of sympathetic? Are you rebellious instead of submissive? Do you satisfy yourself with the things of the world or the word of God? Are you relentless or are you forgiving? Are you corrupt? Are you uncontaminated? Are you the one that always starts the fire? Or are you the intermediary? Are you a Sunday morning Christian only? Are you a daily follower of Christ? Corinthians 11 and 28 says, for us to examine ourselves, and we say this every time we take communion, to examine ourselves, to determine if we are worthy of communion with Christ. But you know, that instruction holds true not just on Communion Sunday, but every day and in every area of your relationship with God. Remember, your relationship with God is worth much, much more than anything that this world can offer. Cultivating a relationship with him through prayer and fasting and reading his word, amen, and coming to the house of worship. Amen. And being around his people will help you develop the right attitudes. I go back to the topic, to be or not to be. Think about it. What is your attitude on a scale of 1 to 8? Praise the Lord. Amen. At this time, Pastor Hornbuckle has opened the floor. Amen. If you need or if you desire prayer, amen, amen. If the word of God, amen, has ministered to you in any way, and if God is speaking to you, amen, about how you react to things, about your mannerisms, about your disposition, about your emotions, amen, then we would like to pray with you, amen, amen. You can stand at this time, amen, amen. You can come forward if you'd like prayer, amen, and if you don't desire to come forward, that's all right, amen. Just talk to God in your heart and tell God, I need your help, Lord. I need your help with me. Work on me. Work on me, God.
I want to thank you for taking time to listen to this message. Know that God loves and cares for you deeply. You know, we all have struggles in our life, tough times, and much more. But God is about to do great things in your life. Remember the scripture found in Galatians 6 and 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's your season for breakthrough. Don't give up. Don't stop. Trust God to bring you through. God bless you.
I would like to take a time to thank all listeners of the Lily Kojic Podcast. I pray that you or someone close to you was truly blessed by the messages that we bring to you weekly. As we go forward, we ask that you share the podcast with as many people as possible. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 states, so neither is he that plants anything, neither is he that waters, but God gives the increase. Our goal is to expand this ministry to reach more people with the good news of the gospel. You can help us achieve that goal by supporting us with a donation of any amount. We have a donation button located on our podcast page that allows you to support this ministry. Thank you, and God bless.